I will talk about a bit about Shaft, which is not only a movie, well, a couple of movies in fact, but about some other thing, which is called Shaft, which is a tool we made at the company where I work for a couple of projects. Yep. Because in the systems area in our company, we were making a lot of shell scripts, and we even made some important things which were somewhat mission critical, which were mostly shell code in GNU Bash. So we reached the point where it was becoming very difficult to test whether everything was working as expected. So we thought about making something which could help us to test whether everything went right. And so what's Shaft? Well, apart from a funny name, which is or funky, it's an acronym for Shell Advanced Functional Tester, more than functionalist declarative. And if we wanted to say what it's in, is for shell scripting, tries to be simple, but it's a bit hairy in the implementation, but eases a lot making test cases. It's somewhat declarative, not a lot of, not very well get this thing of declarative unit testing, but at least it saves some time. Well, a lot in reality. And it's for unit testing, as I have said before. And it's a bit strange to talk about shell scripting and unit testing in the same phrase. So I wanted also to highlight what it's not or which not so good parts does it have. For example, it is only for Bash at the moment. I suppose that it would be possible to port it to KSH, but it's not very straightforward. And so it's somewhat simple. So if we wanted to do very complex things, probably we will shoot ourselves at our feet. But you still have to write tests. It's much easier, but not totally avoidable. So this is logical after all, and it's not the solution for all our problems related to shell scripting. So, well, I already commented out some things why. Some motivations because we started this small, tiny project, which is really a side project of other bigger things, and we were reusing it from one to another. And the main reasons because we did this is because, in general, people doesn't want or like to write documentation because it takes a lot of time. And something similar goes to unit testing. It's something you want to do and you have to do sometimes because it's good, but it takes a lot of time. So one of the motivations was making it easier so it could take less time and being more convenient. Because we have found a couple of ways of making testing in Bash, but it was somewhat cumbersome. So we went down in the code and decided to do something about this. And why or what's the reason which could argue this could be relevant or interesting for someone working at a Linux distribution like Debian? Or others, there are a lot of them. Well, if we take a closer look at packages and the things they include, we could find something like this. In fact, these are real numbers taken from the latest stable Lenny, Debian Lenny, and there are some parts of the distribution which are somewhat important, and they should not fail. For example, the shell code in the initial RAM disk used both for the live CD-ROMs and for installations, for initial setups, and for booting the system. They contain about 1,200 lines of code in shell code. The init scripts, those ones which go in /etc/init.d, They are about 3,000. There are about 3,000 lines of code, but it starts to become relevant when you reach the package scripts. And I refer to the scripts which are run before installing a package, of once the package has hit the file system, pre-install and post-int scripts. Taking into account a typical installation with no X Windows system, with about 200 installed base package, it's about 17,300 lines of code. Well, not all of this code is relevant, because most scripts in this 200 set of packages are only one-liners or two-liners, or at most 5 or 6 lines. So there will be no need to test those trivial scripts. But there are others which are quite complex. For example, the ones which update the grab, the bootloader configuration, or the kernel package, contain some longer scripts which could affect the system if the package is not installed correctly, or if the script has some problem in its code. And if we take a look at the entire file system, this is something which someone in general should not try, because it takes a lot of time identifying with file the the scripts and counting lines. It's near 90,000 lines of code. Of course, not of all are interesting for testing, but maybe there could be something in Debian which could be tested. And the point is that, as far as I know, I tried to ask and nobody told me whether there was some way of active testing and automatic testing of distribution scripts. As far as I'm concerned, there are no testing, no automatic testing, which probably would not be interesting once the code is done, because you theoretically have already something which works, but could be interesting for avoiding regressions when making new releases. So for important things, it could be an option. Well, I have already said some things like that. And for example, the Debian installer, I was trying to search yesterday whether it was being tested or not. That's why the exclamation mark is there. But at last, I have been able to download the source code, and there is no automatic testing either in the Debian installer. Well, there are a set of existing tools also in Bash for testing shell scripts. Interestingly enough, the advanced shell scripting guide for GNU Bash recommends using echo or printf for doing testing, which is tricky and not very good, as you probably know. Then there is set -x, which will print out traces of every command and shell expansions which are being done during the run of the script, while the script is being run. But if you have a complex script or a long script which runs for a while, you will end up with a very long trace log of what your script is doing, and it can be somewhat difficult to follow how things are being executed. So in reality, in practice, they are only useful. -x is only useful for small things, or at least that's what we thought and when we made this tool. There is two more not very well known Bash flags, which are -u and -v. The first one warns about undefined variables, which theoretically sounds great, but in practice is not that great. For example, if you use bash arrays and you have an empty array and you try to determine how much items are in the array, you will get a warning about an undefined variable. But it's empty, not really undefined. So this option can be even more confusing than solving things. And minus V, what does is warning about, well, I don't remember exactly what it does. Undefined, and the other one, the other one, the minus V, warns about variables which have never been defined. So, which have never been assigned, sorry. So, it's somewhat interesting, but the application is limited. And then we have found that there are two things which could be useful, and in fact they are somewhat useful, which are a debugger for GNU Bash, which is BashDB. It's a bit tricky to use, but it makes the job. And then it is an XUnit-like small library, which you can source in your scripts to make unit testing. So at first, we tried to use SHUnit2 before rolling around tool. But as we had a lot of test cases which involved file system operations, we ended up with very long test cases, especially the parts used for preparing app, the environment, and the like. So it was a step forward, but it was not the perfect solution at all. So I would consider the fourth one a failure. They are useful, but they have a very limited range of application. And for the other two tools, well, maybe they could be useful. They are useful, in fact, but not as easy to use as one would expect. The good thing about SHUnit2, now that I recall, is that it works with any decent shell out there, GNU Bash, SetSH, and KSH, mostly. So, in fact, it's quite portable. And if you want your scripts to be tested and used with different shells, I would go for it, because Shaft works only for GNU Bash. And you may be curious about how testing is done using our tool. So I will give a quick example to see how the thing looks. Well, it's laid out this way. We decided to build upon SHUnit2 because we were already using it in some places. And we didn't want to throw it away and start again. So it started as a side thing, which we were trying to avoid, but we made the most out of it, and we ended up building on it. And the Bash debugger, we use it because we wanted to being able of stopping executing in certain places and modifying the environment before making particular tests. And having a debugger under our code allows for example, if you have a script which tries to download something over the network, for example, using wget, you can skip that particular instruction or some lines and then place the supposedly downloaded file in the file system artificially. So you can run the test suite automated without requiring network access, which is a good thing, for example. We have used it for this kind of corner cases in which you need to do something automatically which depends on external things which are not part of your code. So that's why we use it as well. And how this affects the code we already may have in a script and how we write test cases. Well, for being able of stopping at certain places and making tests, we decided to go simple and to put some marks with comments in the code. It's far from perfect because theoretically unit testing says that you should not need to know what's in the code to test it. So we are not really doing perfect unit testing here, but it was very convenient for us this way, because we had a lot of pre-existing scripts which were not structured at all. They hadn't functions. You couldn't source them because they had side effects. So it was not possible to import them into another running script and test individual parts of the code. This way, we can add the marks and test some parts without modifying a lot the original code. So this was a necessity at first, but it turned out to be convenient, in fact. And then one could should write some proof files, which are a mix of BASDB, CommandScript commands, and also a set of commands which are implemented in Shaft and which provide additional facilities to make testing easier, which is the final goal of all this thing. And then write a small wrapper script which imports Shaft and starts running the tests. This may sound like a stupid idea, in fact, because it could be a command line option to specify which source file you want to test and the like. But as we will see later, it allows for adding common environment things into for all of the test cases. Well, the marks, for example, this is a very simple script which I made yesterday as an example for today. And just imagine that we wanted to test whether we're entering the if clause. So we can stop here with where test O2 is greeting with a pound mark and a plus. Or, for example, test whether bash actually makes assignments in the expected way, and stop after the assignment of age equals 45. So our scripts need very little modification for being tested with Shaft. The bootstrap script which runs the test is also very simple. It's only a matter of defining what we are testing and adding a relative path to the directory which contains the test cases, one test case per file, and sourcing the library in quotes. And we could add here functions, shell functions, which would be inherited by all the test cases. This is interesting because a hook function can be defined in each test case for preparing the environment, and that function can use the things defined in the runner script. For example, I told you before that we were using this tool for testing scripts which had a lot of side effects on the file system and needed a starting environment in the file system. So we defined a common function for preparing the disk layout in the runner script, and then we used it from all the test cases. So each test case only contained actually the statements needed for testing, and the preparation of the file system was isolated in this other file and common for the cases, so no code was duplicated. So it saves a lot of time. And this is actually how a test case looks. It's a strange mix of BASDB commands, shell functions, and our own commands. For example, GT is a command defined in Shaft. And there are two hooks which can be defined here, apart from other functions which will be ignored. So you can define, for example, prepare foo and call it from a hook which is called prepare. I have not put a prepare hook here for simplicity. And the breaks hook should define in logical lines of code where do you want to stop. So if the mark used for stopping in this proof is the name of the proof, test 01, if you recall, I had a mark over there in the code. So it would stop just after the command, which has the test 01. If I could say there could be spaces after the marks for stopping, because the numbers here in the which define the place where to stop are logical numbers, so spaces and commands are ignored, which is pretty convenient, especially if you are making cosmetic changes like adding white space and the like, which sometimes happens. And so what good this one do? Well, set a breakpoint at the mark, at the next line of the mark with test 01. Start running the thing. There is a reason why there is not an implicit start. And it's because there are commands for defining environment variables, a message which would be printed in case of test failure, and some other similar things. So I think it's better this way, because if there was an implicit start, one would have to restart the executing after defining that kind of things. So it's a matter of taste, probably. And here, well, the syntax is something like infix syntax. And it's this way because the parsing of all of this is done in Bash, and it's not very easy to make a parser in Bash, as you probably know. So what the last line really says is, we're checking that something is greater than zero, and what we're checking is the rest of the line. If the rest of the line prints something which is greater than zero, so the test will pass. It's a bit funky, but actually it's understandable. This is another example. For example, if you recall, I had inside the if block another mark for stopping, which was test 02. And we can print a dummy string, because if the script does execution does not go inside the if block, this sentence will never be executed. So this way we are checking whether we have entered the if statement. If the statement was not being run, the code inside if, the check would be done even so, but the output would be empty, so the test case would fail. It's a particular thing of testing whether a code path is following what it's supposed to do. May seem a bit strange at first, but once you have your marks set, it's only a matter of adding one line to check for each one of the points you want to know whether the execution was there. So it's pretty convenient after all. And we could even, this is a small sample of how it would look if we wanted to do the two tests in the same profile. Well, it's more or less the same, but we continue executing until the next stop is reached. So it's pretty straightforward. And if we run this, and the example runner is the script which bootstraps the thing, as I have said before, and looks something like this. If some test fail, it would be reflected in the results at the end. And well, one thing which is not here in the slides, I will try to put a big shell here. Okay. Well, this is very big. Whoop. Yeah. For example, you get for free. Oof. Aye. You could get for free common line parsing for common stuff, for like running only a single proof if there are more than one, being verbose. Another thing which is interesting is that if you tell the minus D switch on, it would create a log file, which, for example, you could ask someone to send you by email, which may be good, for example, if you are delivering your shell scripts to some user, and they will say, hey, your shell script does not work. And you can say, well, run the test suite and send the results to me so I can tell actually whether it's your fault or it's the fault of my code. So the logging mode is interesting. You have the logs. And for example, to check whether it's convenient to define the prepare hook, as I said before, I could edit this one and add a prepare function here. and print out something to the console. So if we run the thing again now, something appears at the console. And also, I have said that I could define that some particular function in the runner script and reuse it this way. This would be where we would prepare our file system layout, for example, in the case where we're doing some things with the file system. And I could say foo here and reuse the, well, something, foo. And I could reuse the function from all test cases. So it's pretty convenient for testing things which have side effects and which maybe whose preparation is not as trivial as it could seem. And there is another feature which is not on the slides regarding the file system. The tests are run in a sandboxed, somewhat sandboxed environment, which runs in a temporary directory under /tmp. So it tries to isolate the testing from the rest of the file system, so you would not be screwing things in your system. And also, if you had a different, for each test case, there are different directories which are created. I suppose I could have the directories there. Whoops. In TMP, yeah, there are directories like shaft example script and the like, but it's not very clear. Well, they are here, the sixth. So you get a sandboxed environment per test case, and each test case runs in its own environment, inheriting the environment from the runner script. So it's actually quite difficult, I would say even impossible, to one test case to affecting each other test cases, which is good. And also, one the changes made to the file system by one test wouldn't affect the next one. And well, as a quick summary, because there's nothing more big things to say about this. Well, the implementation is somewhat hackish and is something I would like to change, but it's not very easy. There are a lot of file descriptors changing from numbers and going from one place to another, because all of this is working with pipes and with filters. So it's not maybe the most easy thing to understand, but for example, if you take a debugger, its code is also not easy to understand. So I don't know whether this is a common thing of debugging ICE tools or testing ICE tools of being somewhat complex, because it's the first time I do one of those. But I think it's somewhat usual. But even being hackish, this saved us a lot of time. For example, we were running out of time in one of our projects. Well, I work on the systems area, and we had an internal project for deploying a series of things. And we were running out of time with some scripts which were failing horribly. And we were doing some manual testing, and we ended up having good tests, and the thing worked after all. And I don't know whether this is another thing which I don't know whether it would have a lot of application outside of some particular things, because it's not very usual to make mission critical code in shell scripts, but there exists some. So I don't know whether it would be applicable to a lot of cases, but at least for some of them it may be useful. And the most important thing, after all, is that the name of the tool is catchy. And this is all in general. So we have published the code, so you can surf there and take a look at how hackish it is. And if you want to ask something or someone which is not here, well, we have a mailing list and questions, if there are some. No questions. Well, so as there are no questions, a final comment, a final remark before leaving, because I should go home back home today. I left some t-shirts and some notebooks at the front desk, so help yourself and pick one if you want. And thanks for attending.